Hi, this is Mary Hudson with Arise International, and you are watching Good Life with Dean Wilson.
Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us. Wherever you are, we see so many of you joining us from around the world at goodlifetelevision.org, and you can watch all these great interviews there. I was thinking this morning, you know, we get to choose what we dwell on, which is an interesting thought in itself, that we get to choose what we dwell on. Are we going to dwell on the good, the hopeful, the noble, the pure, the praiseworthy, the excellent, or are we going to dwell on other stuff? I mean, it makes a difference, you know, it makes a difference in life. And so one of the things we hope here at Good Life is that we're helping you dwell on some of these great stories, the stories of overcoming, of achievement, of entrepreneurship, service, love, forgiveness. It's good stuff. So welcome to Good Life. We're glad you're with us. I'm so excited about my guest today. Mary Hudson is with me. Mary?
Thank you, Dean. That's very kind. Welcome. I totally agree with that statement. You've got to be positive. You can dwell on the positive or you can dwell on the negative. And whatever you do dwell on is going to make it bigger.
Yes. Whatever you feed.
Right. That's good. Right. Whatever you magnify.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
How long have you been in ministry?
41 years.
Wow.
Keith and I have been married. We were married in 1979, Las Vegas. I'm from Santa Barbara, but I went over to Las Vegas as a reporter and joined a church there and met my husband there and got married there and came back to Santa Barbara.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I read, did something happen like on your honeymoon, you and Keith, or something early on in your marriage I was reading about that it became clear, or you got a word, or there was something happened that it was clear that you guys were going to be in ministry together?
Yes, that would be the main reason that, I mean, of course we loved each other, but we really had a heart to help people for the Lord and to see people get set free and delivered. And he'd seen a lot of that, having been a hippie growing up and he got saved in the apple orchard of Wenatchee, Washington, when he opened up his Bible to Romans 10, 9 and 10. And the words came running out of the Bible, or came up out of the Bible, and said that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And going from a long-haired hippie to being saved was a big leap of faith.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you marry Keith, you set out in this kind of life of ministry.
Yeah.
You have three kids, Katie, remind me of the names, David and Angela.
Angela, Katie, and David, yeah.
In that order.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you end up starting this thing called Arise Conferences.
Right. In 2006, I received a word from a man of God in Pennsylvania. He said that I would raise up women who would be bold, trailblazers, and think outside the box. I'm going like, I don't want to do any of that. Please tell me that I don't have to do that. 3 months later, I'm doing it up here at the El Capitan in the little cabins there north of Santa Barbara. I'm having my first meeting there with a pastor's wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what is the, so I want to mention this. So they're having the theme for these conferences this year is strength. And they're having events in Kauai, Kona, Maui, and then Santa Barbara. They're having a 5K run on December 4th. I thought you might be interested in that, this conference. But tell me, so what's your vision, your hope for conferences?
Well, I just
like
didn't
these?
Want to do conferences. I thought that was kind of boring. I mean, it's like taking water to the sea. But I wanted to help women, spark women, encourage women to jump out of being victims into being victors. And so we go into the domestic violence homes and the clean and sober living places, and we talk to the directors and people in charge and see if we could take the ladies out for 2 nights and 3 days, put them up in a great hotel, just bless them and give them gifts and presents and take them through the conferences where they get encouraged that they don't have to be a victim of their past. They can be, you know, go into their futures. Like, we've had so many testimonies of women who have come out of terrible situations. Like one lady we found in the Kona Domestic Violence Center, she had been thrown out of a car at 60 miles an hour by her insignificant other, I would say. And she was one unhappy camper. And we went in there, of course, to encourage them to come to the conference because we have everything ready. We have the convention center there in Kona and everything, and the band and the worship. It's going to be really fun. And it didn't look like she was going anywhere. And if we prayed for her that, you know, she might smack us, but we didn't know. But anyway, we did pray for her, and she did come to the conference. She just kept getting encouraged, 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 and coming out of herself and standing up and just worshiping God and getting excited about the things of the Lord. And finally, at the end, she decided that she was going to go from Kona there, where she was living in the domestic violence center. She got a job over in Hilo, which is 2.5 hours away on the other side of the big island of Hawaii. And she got over there. She went, started her job. Then she's coming home from work one day, looked up on a grassy knoll, and there was a group of Christians praying. She walked up the hill, broke up with the circle and started praying with them, joined the church, and just took off as a Christian. I mean, it was just amazing, her character change. She came back, Dean, 2 years later, dressed in a gray suit, hair done, looked like somebody out of Forbes magazine. I didn't even recognize her. It was amazing. But all my friends on the island were saying, you've got to have her. You've got to have her come testify and say what happened to her. And so we did, and it was just so encouraging to all the women that we had there that day. Wow. You know, that you can do it. You can change. You don't have to be a victim of your past. You're not your history, right? You're always, every day is a new day. Every week is a new month. You can, every week is a new week. You can recreate your life. And your life, I always say, is created by that thing 2 inches below your nose called your mouth. Hmm. And you can have what you say.
Talk about that, speaking.
Yeah, speaking. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, right?
Right.
You can have what you say. If you keep saying, I am just a worm, I'm never going to make it, I'll never pass this test, I'll never get into this university, I'll never get this job. Well, do you want me to agree with that? No, I'm not going to agree with that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can get ahead, but you've got to believe in yourself and believe in God and believe the Lord can direct you in these things, right? You don't have to go down on yourself. Go up. Cast the care of it on Him. Release the weight of it to Him. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
I'll agree with that. Yeah, I had.
Let Him do the work for you.
I had a pastor one time talking about something similar. He said, you know, he smoked cigarettes. And then he decided, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. So the way he handled it was he woke up in the morning and he would say out loud, often, I'm a non-smoker.
Right.
I'm a non-smoker.
Right. That's awesome.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And did he stop smoking?
He stopped. Yeah.
That's
he stopped.
It. See?
Yeah, he stopped.
You think, oh, now that's ridiculous. But listen, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit's going to go someplace for eternity, and you make that choice right here on earth whether you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell by asking Jesus in your heart. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions, and that's why it's so important to renew your mind, will, and emotions in the Word of God, and then everything will start to change. Your desires start to change. Listen, Dean, when I got to Las Vegas, I was a gnarly reporter. I was living on the beach on Miramar Beach with my Russian girlfriend who did tie-dye scarves. It was like 1977, and I get offered a job in Las Vegas, and I'm like, Las Vegas, gross. And I go over there, and it was sincerely gross. I mean, it was just cactus and desert. It was awful. But so I refused the job, and then when I got back home, they called me up and they offered me more money. And so I thought, well, I guess maybe I should do this. So I went back and I took the job. It was a fun job for a period of time. There were about 7 of us from 5 different states that came in to start the 60,000-watt radio station there. And we reported on the death of Elvis Presley and the Howard Hughes will and all that kind of thing. And I started doing some stringing for CBS and things in New York. And it was getting very interesting. Then all of a sudden the boss comes in one day and he says, you guys, we don't have any more money, so you're all fired. Oh. So they shut down the radio station. Then we'd all left our homes to come to this wonderful job, and now it was no more. So I went back to my apartment, and I looked out over my balcony, and I could see over my balcony this building like a geodesic dome. I thought, that is really strange. That looks like something out of Disneyland or something, but actually it was a church. So I thought, you know, the last thing my brother said to me, he said, you know, Mary Christine, there are lots of churches in Las Vegas. And I'm like, why would he say that? He's not even a Christian. but his wife was a Christian. And so I thought, okay, I'll go over there on Sunday. I went over on Sunday, and it was, you know, they were just excited about God. They were worshiping. They had a great worship team and everything like that. And I gave my name and my address, but I didn't go down to the altar and ask Jesus in my heart or anything like that. But because I gave my name and my address, they had a visitation team come the following Tuesday, knock on my apartment door, and start to explain the plan of salvation. And so so after they did that, they said, "Well, Mary, do you want to get saved?" And I'm going, "No, I don't want to get saved. Are you kidding me? I have to give up my whole lifestyle." And I was a reporter for ABC at the time, and I'd get free tickets to everything in Las Vegas. I mean, I'd sit on the front row. Muhammad Ali was fighting, and I'd get incredible interviews with Jane Fonda, Ronald Reagan, Willie Nelson, all these people. Actually, that was after I got saved, and we ended up praying with some of these people. It was really fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Didn't stick, some of it, but it was fun. So anyway, I said yes after they said to me, "Well, what if you were going to die tonight?" And I'm going, "Oh, I think I'm going to reconsider." So I asked Jesus in my heart, and all my desires to drink and to smoke and to party and everything totally dropped off of me. And now you know, I was a complete intellectual before that. I'd gone to boarding school. I went to Berkeley. I, you know, traveled the world painting and all this kind of stuff. But when I got born again, there was something inside of me. It was a spark. It just changed me. I wanted the Lord. I wanted to read the Bible. And I still do today, almost every day. Read the Word, see what God is saying to me. That's actually my book there, Smart Bombs.
Yes.
This one. That little one?
Yes.
That's easy to read because you can finish it. Smart Bombs, how the Word of God, when you're reading the Bible, the personal word for you, the rhema word for you, can jump out at you,
right,
and speak to your personal situation. And
right,
when that started happening to me, I'm like, whoa, this is better than any Dostoevsky or anything I've ever read.
Yeah.
It was great.
This is wonderful. That's an interesting part about prayer that I think sometimes, at least in my experience, and I think a lot of people, we think about prayer as me talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't think about it in terms of God hearing from God.
Yes. Also, you're the second person this week that told me I need to shut up and listen.
No, I'm not telling you, shut up.
No, that's the truth. No, we pray a lot, but we don't listen enough.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's right. I think that's my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear. In fact, somebody, before they passed away, somebody asked him, you know, when you get to heaven, what's the first thing you're going to say to God? He said, you know what? I'm going to be a lot more interested in what he has to say to me.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I find myself these days thinking that way. Like, I want to hear from him.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell him what's going on with me, but I want to hear from him.
Yeah.
About my life, about vision, about what to do and who to talk to and where to go and what, you know?
He can lead you and guide you in all truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to waste time. You can cut out, and it's an editing process. You know, the more time you think about somebody like Yonggi Cho, who is the pastor of the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea, and how he would pray 2 to 4 hours a day. And you were wondering, how could he manage a church? It was 850,000 people at that time, and pray 2 to 4 hours a day. He said, that's the only way I could manage it.
Right.
I was on my knees.
Right.
And hearing from heaven. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could manage the church because I was on my knees 2 to 4 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Parenting. This is an interesting book. I was looking at this a little bit, about the joyful parent equals a happy home.
Right.
What prompted this?
Well, you know, you can be joyful or you can be sad about what your children have done in life. And you're going to get a lot further being joyful than you are going to be sorrowful. Because if you're sorrowful, you're just dwelling on the past. You think nothing's ever going to change. But if you're joyful, you're looking to the future, and your hope is in God. Your hope is not in that child. I mean, I've always had, with all three of my children, God gave me he downloaded scriptures for each child. And so I continually pray as I'm prompted to that scripture over that child. And I speak actually just like you're saying about the pastor that gave up smoking. I start talking over the kid. I start saying and speaking those things, and I have definitely seen change as I've spoken some of these things.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't dwell on the negative, what the child's doing right now. And, you know, I have friends, and I encourage them, just don't look at it. I mean, no matter what they're doing, whether they're on end of drugs or, you know, they're miserable or what's happening, don't look at that. Start to speak to the future. Start to speak to what you've seen. You as a parent, you train up a child in the way they should go according to their individual gift or bent. And you as a parent know that more than anybody else knows
right.
that, the mother and the father. You can see, well, that child's good at math. That child's good at singing. This kid, this boy is an exhorter. He's got a pastor, prophet type ministry. You just got to keep speaking to it. And then not just, you know, it's not like the rosary. You've got to keep thanking God and keep praising God. Praise is the password. Praise gets you through all the towers and obstacles that stand in front of you.
Praise right? is the password.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
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 So speaking, hoping, joyful expectant of good.
I mean, yes.
Somebody defines hope as the joyful expectation of good.
Right.
Which is in big contrast to what the world is like.
Right.
Where we're expecting the worst or
right.
afraid.
Right.
So what you're saying is whatever circumstance you see that your child may be in or choices they're making,
mm-hmm.
don't gaze at that.
Right.
Gaze at the unseen.
Right.
And hope.
Like what you started the program out with today.
Yes.
Don't dwell on the negative, accentuate the positive.
Yes.
Yeah. But that might be a little cheesy or a little bit too surfacey, but I'm saying accentuate the positive. You're going to have a lot more power if you use the Word of God, because the Word is quick and powerful as a two-edged sword, cutting asunder between the soul and the spirit. And it'll cut away what's soulish and cut away what's spiritual and what you need to focus on. So if you have a particular scripture that jumps out at you as you're reading the Bible for your child, take it and start praying it over them. Hmm. You know? Yeah.
I actually have a passage for each one of my five kids.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Yeah.
And I wish I could tell you what they are by memory, but
yeah.
I can't. But it's been really helpful for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, oh, this is their life verse. It's more than that. It's like, this is who they are.
Oh, wow.
It's that kind of thing. Like,
that's
let
really
me tell
good.
You who this person is. And this is when they were, you know,
yeah.
little.
That's amazing.
Speaking of little, you have grandkids.
Yes, I have four. Yeah.
Four?
Uh-huh.
Well, and what's that like?
Oh, that's exciting. You never know. They're all different. You never know what's going to happen next.
And you might, but you must, do you start now thinking and praying in terms of the grandkids in the same way? Or how,
oh, I do.
How does that work?
I do. I don't actually I have some scriptures for them, but you just have to wait on the Lord for Him to give you something really specific for that child. So I have some, but not the full cord.
Not all of them yet.
Not yet, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How neat.
Yeah.
You know, there's that quote that says, you know, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Oh, that's really good.
And I think we can so often get caught up in this human thing.
Yeah.
The strife and the fear and the bickering and the bodies and the breakdowns. How do you kind of move forward in spite of all that?
Well,
I guess.
I think, like I say, praise is the password. You have to, you know, it's like a plane that's taking off and it's going on the runway. And the plane, I mean, it might be totally, what do we say with the fog that comes in from the ocean, the marine layer?
Yeah.
Here in Santa Barbara, it might be totally overcast. You can't see a thing. But when your plane gets up and over those clouds, the sun is always shining. The sun's always shining. You've got to get up and over it. And whatever you can do to get your spirit up and over it, of course, for me, it's, you know, getting in the Word, praying, talking to God, listening, like you're saying, Dean, you got to listen. And I think that's sometimes where we miss it, is because we are not listening how we need to. We're sort of, you know, we're taking off on a Indianapolis 500 speedway.
Mm.
And we're not listening to hearing, saying, God's saying, stop, whoa. I used to have this great pastor when we lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 88 to 03. And he used to say, if you have a 1% check in your spirit, pay attention to that. Mm. Don't let that, don't override that. Just don't go on and, you know, pay no attention to it because God's trying to tell you something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What does the future look like? I mean, you're doing these events, you're working with women, and I'm sure Keith is doing what Keith does.
Yeah.
but when you look forward, what excites you about the next few years?
Well, I just want to do more of these conferences. I like to do more in Santa Barbara. You know, we were going to do one at Westmont, except because of COVID, they had to have everybody vaccinated or COVID tested. When you have a conference, you don't even know who's going to show up at the last minute. So that was kind of tricky. But, you know, I'm doing this 5K run and walk,
yeah,
which is going to be fun because this is going to be December 4th. We're going to buy all new bedding and mattresses and beds for the Bethel House, the Women's Santa Barbara Rescue Mission's house for women that has usually 20 girls in it. Right now it's only got 14, but that's because of COVID and they're building it up. And we'll start at Leadbetter Beach and just go like 9:30 in the morning for a couple of hours and raise that money and get those girls some bedding for Christmas.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So
arise5k.org.
Right.
arise5k.org. Mm-hmm. And that's December 4th.
Yes.
5K marathon. Encourage you to check that out. And that's for anybody.
Just women? Absolutely. Everybody.
Okay.
Babies, dogs, grandparents, parents, anybody that moves. And that's why I said walk. I'm not running. I'm walking.
Maybe one final word. This just hit me to ask you, but to somebody who's despairing right now and somebody who has lost hope. And I think you said it a little bit earlier, but I mean, you're working with women who are in domestic violence shelters, drug rehab. So you're dealing with people who are, you know, afflicted.
Really. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But so what's your message for somebody who's watching right now who is?
Well, they can put their hope in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. Put their hope in the Lord, and you may say, "Oh, Mary, that's so cheesy. That doesn't work." Well, try it. You might like it. I mean, there's some people say, "God, if you're real, just show me," and he does. He'll do something. You know, the angels are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. He'll send out the angels to get somebody to call you or to talk to you. I mean, I hear about people trying to commit suicide, and all of a sudden they get a phone call, or they see somebody on TV like Pastor Joel Osteen, and it just lifts their spirit. It's like the enemy tries to put you down, but God wants to put you up. We've got a good, good God, but there is a bad devil down there that wants to discourage you and put you in a situation where you don't want to even roll over. But find, you know, reach out. It's not just, you know, you can't do this by yourself. I have a team of women that work with me. I have one lady up in San Jose that works with all the Diamond Girls and follows them up on them. We call them Diamond Girls, the girls that we bring out of the shelters, because we polish them up. You just need a little polishing. If you're discouraging today, you just need to go in the rock polishing business and polish yourself up. You need to get around people who are going to encourage you, who are going to lift you up. Think of the most encouraging person in your life and call them up, talk to them, and see if you can find somebody you can pray with. Because God's ears, always his ear, eyes roam to and fro across the earth looking for somebody to be faithful to. But you've got to be, you know, like I say, you're a speaking spirit and your life is created by that thing 2 inches below your nose. You've got to speak it. You've got to talk it. You've got to say, "Lord, I am in a really bad place right now, but I'm going to pray with you. Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God, that anybody who's discouraged or depressed, who's lost hope, that God, that you just give them a spark of encouragement. There's somebody out there who can lend a helping hand, or somebody who can give them some money, or somebody who can give them a home, or somebody who can get them into a church. But Father, I thank you, Lord God, that their hearts would be open to heal. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that they come out of the darkness into your glorious light. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. There you go. Once again, the conferences, Arise Conferences, Mary Hudson, you can find them online and encourage you to, if you're in whatever shape you're in,
yeah,
this will be good for
they're
you.
Awesome.
This, I, yeah.
We have so much fun.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Mary, it's great to be with you.
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for the interview.
We'll see you next time.